Welcome to the Frank Online Marketing Show. I'm your host, Tema Frank. Thank you, IBM Canada, for your generous support of the show. It is much appreciated. Today's interview is a little bit shorter than some of them, partially because it was one of the first that I tried to do editing of, and I accidentally deleted a fair chunk of it. Sorry about that, John. But also because John Larson, the founder of Industry Mailout, is a successful entrepreneur in his own right, but he provides an email marketing service, and it's something that I know that almost everybody who's listening to this show could benefit from hearing about. So we spent most of our time talking about email marketing, and only a little bit at the very end talking about his experiences as a businessman. One thing that you need to know before you listen to the interview, just in case you aren't familiar with the terminology, is what an ISP is. He talks about that a fair bit. An ISP is an internet service provider. When you are sending your email campaigns through a company like Industry Mailout or others or Constant Contact or MailChimp, there are a whole bunch of them out there, those companies host your email and they send your email and it goes out through their ISP. It's really important that you choose the company you're working with really carefully, because if they are not following good practices themselves, or if they're accepting clients who aren't following good practices, a lot of your email will end up getting banned, won't get through, it'll be thrown into spam filters. And that is certainly the last thing you want to have happen. So you've got to be really careful about that. And it's also why you really should not be trying to do your own email marketing campaigns without using a service provider. You don't have the tools to make things go out right. You don't have the expertise. And perhaps most importantly, you don't have the relationships with the ISPs so that if something goes wrong, you're not going to be able to fix it, whereas they at least have a chance of being able to. So here we go, and I will talk with you after the show.
My name is John Larson, and I'm with Industry Mailout. We're an email service provider based in Canada.
And how long have you been in business, John?
10 years now.
Tell me a little bit more. You're an email service provider, so like Constant Contact, things like that?
Yeah, we're an email service provider, so we're a platform to create, send, manage, and track email newsletter campaigns. We specifically tend to deal more with communications professionals. I like to say email communications as opposed to email marketing.
Why? What's the difference?
Email is an interesting tool. It's a great tool for communicating, but it has a lot of unpublished rules that you have to follow. And one thing about email, which is different than all other types of marketing, is you have to be really careful with it. It's a great customer relationship tool. It's a terrible prospecting tool. And that's what I tell anybody that talks to us. It's different than other forms of marketing tools that you use. In most cases with a product, you have somebody use it and they can basically go and use it in any way they want. With email, because as an email service,
this was unfortunately one of the little bits of tape that disappeared. But what John was explaining was that email service providers can have their own livelihood threatened by having clients that are abusing the rules. Can you give me an example of not the name of the company, yep, but what sorts of things they did that made you part ways?
It's happened a number of times, but a few years ago, this is just one example, big multi-billion dollar company was using our service via one of our partners, and they were sending out messages and they uploaded a list, and immediately when they sent, we get feedback via the ISPs about the quality of the list. What happens is when you send an email, if on Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo, somebody hits that spam complaint button, that actually does something. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. That says something to the ISP themselves. And if an email service provider has feedback loops set up with them, they send those back to the email service provider. Generally, there's a reasonable level of complaints that you could get. And what most ISPs go with is 0.05 to 0.07% of their list is the spam complaint threshold. Once you go over that, we basically view you as doing something that you shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
So what happened with this company is they had an unusual number of complaints and an unusual number of bounces. So we started to talk to them about their list. It turned out that they uploaded a list that was everything they had in their system for the last 8 years. The people that signed up, say, 8 years ago definitely wouldn't have remembered that they gave them permission to send them emails. And even a year, if you haven't communicated with somebody in a year after you've signed up with them, you probably shouldn't be sending to them. So we told them this and said, in order to keep on using our service, you're going to have to clean up your list. And they just wouldn't agree to do it. So we had to just say part ways and just say they couldn't use our service. And that's happened a number of times. Actually, and it's often the bigger companies that you would expect to follow those rules that are tougher to deal with.
I mean, I fell into that problem because with Web Mystery Shoppers, I had some 75,000 people, and then I let it lapse for a couple of years and realized I couldn't resurrect it.
Yeah.
How would you, you say you asked them to clean up the list. How could you clean up a list like that?
Well, what you should do in that case, if people have said that you can communicate with them via email, it's all about how the subscriber feels about what you're sending them. And it's not only about permission, it's the content that you're sending them. Number one, only send to people that will remember that they signed up with you. So that probably should only go back at max a year.
Yeah.
Also, when they signed up, make sure you send to them what they signed up for. So if they signed up for something that is more information heavy or informative, don't just start sending them flyers or whatever.
I see a lot of marketers who will have you sign up to get a particular PDF and then they start sending you email through their list. Is that legit or not?
No, because, well, it depends how it's presented. I don't think it's a very good way to do it, because if somebody just signed up just to get that PDF, then as soon as you start sending them emails, they don't value that email and they probably don't want it.
Right.
So when people sign up for the list, they should be signing up for the content that you're actually going to be sending them, and should be something that they want. It's a way to increase the I suppose, the growth of your list. But the problem is you have to make sure that the content that you're actually going to be sending them via email is something that they want. And there's no point in trying to trick them or force them to give you an email to get something that they really do want, just to send them something that they're not going to value at all, and then they're just going to hit a spam complaint button.
A lot of the internet marketers use AWeber.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of that kind of thing, though, where you sign up for one thing and then suddenly you're getting bombarded with emails. How do they get around this problem with being banned by ISP?
Well, they probably get blocked. And when you get blocked too, it's not the email service provider that's necessarily getting blocked. We're all based on like our overall reputation.
Okay.
So if we deal with you right away and kick you off our system, we can deal with that. But also your domain and your from address also has a reputation with it. You can get yourself blocked on just the emails you send one-to-one. So I've come across some organizations that come to us just for advice. They're not even using our system. And they say, I don't seem to be getting anything through to all these people. You start talking to them about what they've been doing, and what they've been doing in their marketing department has got all their other messages from their sales people, their customer support people, all blocked across various providers.
Ouch.
And to get off those blacklists is really difficult. It's completely arbitrary. It's up to the ISP. Their main concern is just keeping down on the amount of filtering that they do. ISPs filter over 95% of the emails that are actually sent through them.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it's one of their biggest costs. The product manager at Yahoo basically defines spam as anything that their users feel as spam, they define as spam. Mm-hmm. And that's something to keep in your mind if you want to go start using email marketing. It's like I said, it's a great customer relationship tool. It's a terrible prospecting tool.
Yeah, tell me more about why you think it's a terrible prospecting tool.
So I think what a lot of people associate with prospecting is going out, buying a list from some list broker. And email service provider, I view list brokers as the scum of the earth.
So, and they're still out there. They still exist. People are buying those lists.
I think the problem is that they're selling. List brokers can sell addresses and contact information for direct mail. That's fine. That's perfectly legit. The thing with email is email's all based on permission marketing. And what they're doing is they're saying that you can use email the same way you do that other contact information. And what it does is it just gets you in trouble with your the various ISPs out there. It shouldn't be used for cold messaging. It's something that once you get the permission from the subscriber to send to them, that's when you can use email marketing very effectively. And it's a great communication tool. It's direct to the subscriber. You can target it. You can measure the results of it. You can track who's opened it, who's clicked on what clicks. There's still not really a lot of other tools out there like that these days that are that direct. Mm-hmm. So it's still a good tool that way. It's just that you can't use it to grab a list of 200,000 or a million emails and just send to it and hope that the 1% respond to you.
Okay, so when you're saying prospecting, you're really talking blind.
I'm talking blind prospecting.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I think, and we come across that a lot. We have a lot of great customers. That's what we base our business on, is keeping great customers that deliver good quality content that's wanted by their subscribers. But every once in a while, we'll get a customer that figures that they can take a list of everybody that's a potential customer or client in their industry and send off. And that's where we run into problems. And that's what I mean by prospecting.
So to try and develop your own lists, then, what, I guess that's not really your business, but what are your thoughts on better ways to do that?
I get asked this a lot, and unfortunately, I don't have a really good answer for it. What you need to do is you have to ask people's permission at every point that you touch them. So if you have a point of sale area, whether it's over the phone or in a location, give people the opportunity to sign up for your messages. But they need a reason to sign up, because nobody just wants to give you their email address just so that you can send them whatever you want. You have to tell them what you're sending them and why it's valuable to them and why they would want to be on that list. When you're able to figure that out, people will want to sign up for it, and you're able to build your list very effectively, and you've got permission to contact people in a very direct way anytime you want.
Have you found that open rates have gone down over the years?
I think across the industry, yes. We haven't seen a significant drop. Where I see drops in open rates, it's when people get off the initial plan for their email marketing. So for instance, we had one customer we've dealt with for years who has a great program with us where they'll build an email centrally, they'll publish it out to all of their various locations across all the regions they deal in. Each of those regions then add a unique message to that email and then send it out to their list. We had a great open rate on that, and it was a great program for years. What happened, though, was that as the years went on with that company, their big thing was getting people out to presentations that they would do in each region. And the drive there was to get as many people out to these presentations as possible. And so they'd send an invitation out, and they wouldn't get as many people signing up for that presentation as they want. So they'd send another, and then they'd send another, and then they'd send another. Mm-hmm. The problem is that people just got annoyed with that. And so the open rates for those invitations went down, and people just started to ignore them. But what also happened is their open rates for the newsletters and the really good information they were sending out went down as well. And
guilt so that, by association.
Well, it was guilt by association, and it killed their whole marketing program. And so what we've done over the last couple of years is really tried to work hard to get that open rate up.
I sometimes get emails where it says at the very top, you're getting this list because, and it explains when you would have signed up. How does that work? Does it work?
Well, once again, it's good to say when somebody signed up, but once again, we go back to that initial thing we were talking about where people have signed up maximum a year after they signed up. Yes, that you signed up at this point. This is what you signed up for. This is why you're getting this email. But don't go back 3-4 years. People just don't want it by that time.
What are some of the tips that you'd have to keep people wanting it?
Content. Content is everything. One of our most successful newsletters, just when I think back on it, was a city government, a municipality that we deal with. And they had a newsletter that that the whole focus of it was on gardening without pesticides. So the newsletter gave tips on how to garden and just all kinds of gardening information and just so you could do gardening without pesticides. And it had a 70-something% open rate.
Wow.
Yeah. The other newsletter like that was also a financial company that we do a lot of financial companies. Mm-hmm. And when we have a financial company that had a newsletter that had an open rate like that of 70%, but they had a very unique message within the industry compared to other financial newsletters. So that's the thing about content. If you give unique content that people want, you can get a 70% open rate, and that's almost unheard of.
I would think the more focused the niche as well.
The more focused the niche, and the more unique the information too. So if it's unique information that's interesting and relevant to people and something they're passionate about. People are passionate about gardening, and they're also passionate about their investments. And if you're giving in investment information that's different, that's unique, that's, I think, the success of those newsletters.
Right.
And put yourself in the subscriber's shoes. People always recognize spam when they receive it. They never recognize spam when they're sending it. And and so I think what you want to do is, if you're going to go start email marketing, or if you're email marketing already, ask yourself, if I was a subscriber, and be honest with yourself. If I was a subscriber and I'm on this list, would I want this information that you're sending to me? And would I should I be getting it? If you start from there, I think that's where you, and if you're honest with yourself, that's where you start to say, okay, if I was a subscriber on this list, this is what they signed up for initially. Am I still keeping that end of the bargain? And is that what I'm sending them? And if you're not, you really have to reevaluate what you're sending to them. With ISPs, what they're looking at is the spam complaints. They're looking at the number of bounces. Once you lose your subscribers, once they start to ignore your messages, you've just lost them. What you should always do is ask yourself, why are these people on this list? And am I giving them what they actually asked for? And keep it frequent as well.
How frequent?
It all depends on the list. It should be enough that they remember that they're on the list and it's effective. Some problems arise when people only get emails every 6 months and they completely forget about why they got on that list. At the same time, you don't want to send to them every day unless they're expecting it every day. So it all depends on the content that you're sending them and how relevant it is to them at that time.
So for a typical small business type marketing, would a weekly thing, bi-weekly, monthly?
It all depends on what you're sending as far as the subscriber goes. Also, good content is hard to come up with, so you have to be realistic about that. One thing about some of our smaller customers, I noticed that they really struggle with content. So once a month is great. Once a month with maybe with some very topical things sent in between. Mm-hmm.
So do you see any interesting new trends or themes emerging in email marketing?
More just the ways that we're starting to complement other social media and other communications tools. I think that's where it's getting really interesting. I think what we're moving towards is getting more metrics based on off of these other tools as well.
The share this type links, as opposed to simply forwarding this email to a friend. Can you now just have a tweet this email or whatever?
Yep. With an email sent out, you can often have the option to share it via Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+.
Looking back about your own experiences building this business, you were one of the founders, yes?
Yep.
What have you learned over the years? What have been some of the most surprising things for you and the most successful things for you?
Well, this is generally for any business. I think you have to stick with it. There's going to be with technology changes really fast. The biggest thing about technology is you really have to keep up. And that's one thing these days is that you really have to keep on developing these days, especially with what's happened in the technology sector. There's a lot of money being thrown into a lot of companies and just always being creative and just try to keep on innovating on and offer great service and offer something valuable. We like to say that we make money by creating value for our customers.
What's been the most fun experience you've had since starting the business?
Was fun. The people I work with. I get to work with great people every day. I enjoy going to work. One thing I've said from the beginning is that we always want to keep me the dumbest person on staff.
You may have heard people lately saying that with social media, email marketing is dead or about to be dead. Well, I got to tell you, the stats simply don't bear this out. In fact, email marketing is going as strong as ever, and it doesn't look like it's about to fade away anytime soon. The reality is that for most businesses, email is still the most effective way for them to maintain and further a relationship with customers and with serious prospects. It gives you a chance to talk to them one-on-one and to be in a place where they're going to see you without having to actively go out of their way to check a social media site to find you. Now, it's true that people of my daughter's generation do use email a lot less than people of my generation, but it is still the dominant way of communicating in the business world. And I wonder, actually, once people of my daughter's age get into the business world, how things will change. Maybe they won't. They may well also find that they're still relying very heavily on email. Or maybe there will be some completely new kind of tools by then that make both of these things irrelevant. But for now, email marketing is important, and it's important to do it right. So a few things that I think came up in the interview that are really worth highlighting. One is, if you haven't sent to your list in over a year, just accept that you've got to start over. It's unfortunate. Believe me, I know the pain of that. I lost 75,000 people that way. Dumb, dumb, dumb. But the reality is, if you try to just send back to them now, most of them won't remember you and will just be annoyed and report you as a spammer and get you banned. So you're better off starting to rebuild. And this is where social media actually may be a good way for you to help rebuild that email marketing list. Because It is easier in some ways for you to get in front of them on social media and then encourage them to sign up for your email list if they're interested in getting more detail and staying in touch with you in a more intimate way. Another important point is to send regularly, but not too often. Partially, as John pointed out, that depends on your size. A lot of small businesses, for instance, have trouble coming up with enough content to send out, say, weekly. And even in large organizations, often you just don't have the staff or the resources to do frequent email lists. So what he is saying is that once a month actually can work really well. It's often enough that the people who were on your list probably won't forget you and forget who you are, but it's not so often that you're going to be really irritating them. Now, in other businesses, and depending on what your model is, once a week can also work quite well, and there are a lot of companies that are doing that now. But make sure that you're sending them something valuable every week. Don't waste their time, or else they will, again, block you, spam you, just have you filed immediately in their trash. So it's kind of a waste of everybody's time. Sending out email more frequently than once a week is something I would generally not recommend. Speaking from experience, my inbox overfloweth, and it's partially because I come across really good sites and really interesting people and I sign up for their email list, but then they send so much stuff that my inbox is overflowing, I can't cope with it, and so I end up unsubscribing from a bunch of them. Even though their content was good, it's just too frequent. The only exception I would see to that is occasionally if, for instance, you're offering a 7-day course on how to do something, an email-based course, you make it clear to them up front that you will be sending them one email a day for 7 days and only for 7 days. And in those types of circumstances, it can work well for you. But don't overdo it. That's all for today. If you've got any questions or comments about today's episode, about email marketing, about anything else, please feel free to post them. Also, please consider yourself encouraged to pass information about the Frank Online Marketing Show on to any colleagues you've got who might find it interesting. And if you are listening through iTunes, I'd be really grateful if you'd go to the iTunes store and put in some feedback on the show, because that makes a big difference there. I'd also like to thank IBM Canada for sponsoring this show and making it possible for me to bring this to you every week. Talk to you again next Friday. Bye.